with information on the latest developments in assistive technology and initiatives from the studios of 2RPH in Sydney. RPH Australia brings you AbleQuest. In part one of our program featuring TAD, which is the acronym for Technical Aid to the Disabled, we hear from CEO Danny Kapustin, who says TAD is a unique organisation which changes the lives of people living with a disability by providing personalised equipment, technology and services. They do this by linking technically skilled volunteers with people with varying disabilities or their carers. Barbara Sullivan spoke with Danny by phone to update us on the products. He also spoke about the big fundraising event on their annual calendar, the Spring Cycle. Cyclists of all abilities have the fun of riding over the Sydney Harbour Bridge, which is closed to all other traffic. This is happening on Sunday, the 16th of October. To find out more and how you can donate, go to tadnewsouthwales.org.au.
Hello, Danny. Now, we had the pleasure of speaking with your president, Monica Vardabasso, a couple of years ago on AbleQuest. But since then, you've joined TAD, New South Wales, as CEO. TAD's had a 40th birthday and the disability services landscape's changed considerably. So welcome to the program.
Thank you, Barbara.
Now, for listeners unfamiliar with TAD, can you give us a brief idea of what TAD does for the community?
TAD's a unique organisation. We change the lives of people living with a disability, providing personalised equipment, technology and services. And we have a number of different things we do. One of our programs is called Freedom Wheels. So we build bicycles for kids with disabilities and have them riding for the first time. We also have an adaptable solutions range of products and a unique solutions range. So we're able to custom make assistive technology for people.
So how many devices would you say that TAD has built for people over the 40 years that you've been in existence?
Over the 40 years, you're probably looking at something like 30,000 individual items, so quite a number of those.
While everyone's needs are different, I imagine your engineers have many similar requests and have come up with some fantastic product ideas. So from what you've said just now, do you actually manufacture your own product lines as well as create custom solutions?
Yes, we have a number of very popular items that we've developed over the years, which we do manufacture as a standard item, but we're able to custom build it for a particular person, make it a particular height or take into account someone's dimensions, so they're not just sort of off-the-shelf products. But yeah, we have a standard range as well as the custom items.
I actually went on your website, which I think is a fantastic website. It's really clear, and you've got your Easy English, which I think is a wonderful addition to the website. So you seem to have four categories that you've got easy to order and ready to go and individual solutions and then your Freedom Wheels. So that's a very clear way of categorising them for people.
Yeah, look, we try and make it as simple as possible to make it easier for people to understand how we can help them.
So for somebody who has a request, how do they find you? What is the process for that request being executed?
There's a number of ways. Often we get referrals, so somebody might be working with a therapist or another organisation who works closely with us, and so often that person will refer people to us, so suggest that, okay, you have a particular issue that you need solving, so TAD can assist you with that. Obviously we take phone inquiries, but we tend to suggest people have a look at our website to get a feel for the sort of products that we offer. There's an application inquiry process on the website, so you can fill in some of your details and we will get back to you.
So you have over 200 volunteers who are engineers or with other specialist skills, and some of those working out of their own workshops, some at the central TAD facility, and there's a lot of direct client interaction. How do you handle the logistics?
That can be particularly challenging, especially when you're talking about regional areas. So we work up on the north coast, sort of as far north as Taree, and we sort of go out west to Bathurst. So look, it can be problematic from a logistical point of view, but you know, over the years we've developed some good systems. With obviously all the changes in the disability sector at the moment, one of the things we're doing is trying to streamline some of those systems. So try and have a central point of contact here at our head office, being able to triage the jobs that come in and distribute it out to the volunteers in their different groups.
And do you relate closely with TAD in other states as well, or you just operate totally as within New South Wales?
We operate independently. However, we have a close relationship. There is a TAD in every state and territory except the Northern Territory. And so we collaborate quite often on projects and ideas. One of the things we do have is Freedom Wheels is actually a national program, so all of the TADs in each state do our bike program.
So the Freedom Wheels program has been enormously successful. How long is it now? About 10 years?
Yeah, we're just coming up to our 10-year anniversary. And yes, we've been blown away by its popularity because it's quite unique. Whilst you can buy bicycles for kids with disabilities, you usually have to get them imported from overseas. They tend to be very expensive and they don't actually come set up for your child. So the advantage of one of our bikes is not only are they significantly cheaper than the ones that come from overseas, but we actually have a qualified therapist assess the child and we actually build it from scratch, particular persons. It's not a one-size-fits-all approach.
Well, I imagine with 10 years' experience of building this huge number of bikes, you would have made refinements over the years. Has the bike developed much in that time?
Yeah, look, it has. We constantly are refining it. Right at the moment, we've actually got a project we're about to commence, which will be a complete design refresh, being able to take all the things that have worked and haven't worked over the years and actually look at the bike in terms of how the customer might view it and see what improvements we can make. So we're hoping over the next 6 to 12 months we'll actually have a new design for our Freedom Wheels bike.
And can they bring it back to repair with you if something goes wrong?
Yeah, absolutely. We are more than happy to have people come back if there's an issue, or so as kids get a little bit older, the bikes need adjusting. They can come back for adjustment, and in fact, you can also come back if you outgrow your previous bike and upgrade to a larger bike.
Oh, that's a good service.
In some cases, we can actually use the parts from your previous bike, so that makes it cheaper as well.
Talking of bikes, your spring cycle is coming up very shortly. Tell us about that initiative.
The Spring Cycle is run by Bicycle New South Wales. It's a fantastic bike ride on the 16th of October. It goes over the Harbour Bridge, and there's a couple of different options. It ends in Pyrmont or actually goes out to Homebush as well. And it's just a chance for us to raise awareness of what we do. We actually have some of our children on our Freedom Wheels bikes actually ride the 14K course, which is amazing to actually watch them do that. It's a chance to raise some money as well. We had the New South Wales Attorney General actually ride with us last year, which was fantastic. So we're hoping it'll be even bigger this year.
So people can actually donate via the website, can they?
Yeah, absolutely. If you go to the TAB website, there'll be links to a page that we've got set up. So absolutely, you can donate and all of that goes towards the Freedom Wheels program.
With increasing regulation in Australia over the past number of years, product standards and safety, are there any restrictions on what TAD can do?
There are. We also pose restrictions on ourselves. So we want to know that the projects we're working on, that we have the expertise to complete them and that obviously they're safe for our customers. So if we think there's a project that's too technical, so for example, generally we don't modify motor vehicles or anything with complex electrical equipment, we will actually try and refer the person on to somebody else that might be able to help them. We have a triage process where we assess our ability to be able to provide a solution to somebody. And we also have some standards, so we follow some of the New South Wales Community Services policy, including behaviour support policies and restrictive practices guidelines. So we try and follow what the government sets out as best practice.
And so your staff members, your therapists and engineers on staff would work with volunteers in that respect?
Yes, absolutely. Again, with just the complexity of the project, some of them are quite simple and don't require any particular therapist involvement, but others, as soon as they get more complex, one of the things we do is flag that therapist input might be needed. And in some cases, that might be one of our own therapists, or often the client might have a therapist that they're working with already that we would be asking to assess the work that we're doing.
And what about liability? For example, if your volunteers are customising an existing product, does that negate warranties?
Depending on the product, often we're just adding something to it, so it could be an attachment. It is a possibility that it could be voiding warranty in terms of complex hardware, but we'll obviously talk to the customer about that at the time and they'll make a decision whether they'll want to do that or not.
And do you ever go back to the manufacturer of the original product and have an engineer's conversation about the amendment or the change?
Yeah, look, we certainly do. In fact, in some cases where manufacturers actually have an ability to provide some sort of modification service themselves, we actually suggest that people actually work directly with the manufacturer. And in some cases, the manufacturers actually contact us and say, look, they've had a request from a customer and it's not something they can assist with, but can we do that?
Let's talk about the National Disability Insurance Scheme, NDIS, which rolled out nationally in July. And I feel as though TAD created the model for NDIS from a consumer choice and control perspective.
Yeah.
You've always done that. But will the NDIS have a big impact on the way that TAD operates?
I think it will. Like you said, I think we've always had a very person-centred approach, very much focused on the customer's needs and meeting those needs. So I think we're actually well positioned. We have traditionally received a small amount of government subsidy to help subsidise the cost of our products. And obviously, under the NDIS, we lose our state government funding as it transitions over to the NDIS and people with disabilities can access that funding directly. So that does mean that we have to take a more commercial approach
right.
how we're operating. So we have to be trying to sell more products at the right price, essentially to replace the funding. So it's a bit of a cultural shift for us.
Yes, it is, because presumably you've always done things at the lowest possible cost or charge the lowest possible cost for whatever work you've been doing, and now you have to charge market rates, I guess.
Yeah, that's right. We do have to be a bit more commercially focused, and yes, that means some of our pricing in the past has been either at cost or below cost because we've had the government subsidy. So we do have to move it to a point where at least breaking even or being able to cover some of our overheads. The good news is it shouldn't impact people with disabilities because obviously they're able to access the NDIS funding to pay for that. But it means a different way of us approaching how we're trying to grow our services and also making sure that we're really listening to and responding to what our customers want as well.
Yes, so with the direct government funding decreasing, will you need to rely more on corporate sponsorships and donations?
That's certainly a part of it. So events like the Spring Cycle help us to do that. So we're certainly trying to build our fundraising capabilities and corporate support. But look, primarily we think if we have a good product and service that the NDIS is paying for, then we should be able to replace our funding that way.
So the best way for people to contact you or find out more if they want to volunteer or have a request for assistance is to go to your website, presumably.
That's probably the best way, tad.org.au, or they can contact us. We have a 1300 number, 1300 663 243.
Well, keep up the fantastic work, Danny. The fact that you've come on board as CEO, I imagine, has made a big difference to the way that TAD is equipped to deal with all those changes.
I like to think we're working together. It's going to be challenging times ahead, but really exciting times as well. And certainly at the end of the day, people with disabilities are going to have a much wider ability to have choice and control over the supports they're getting.
Well, it's a wonderful organisation, and thanks so much for joining us, Danny.
We feel TAD has such an important role to play in changing the lives of people living with a disability across Australia that in the next program, we look at the organisation in greater detail. You have just been listening to AbleQuest, a program that looks at developments in assistive technology. From Barbara Sullivan and Marnie Roper, thank you for listening and goodbye till next program.